Today she is Masechta Shkolim Daf Yod Ches. We will begin on Daf Yod Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous year, we had learned that besides the Shulchan and the Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu had built for the Mishkan for the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech had made ten Shulchanos, and he made 10 Menorahs. And we had learned a Machloikus, why, where, and how those Shulchanos had been placed. Tani, says the Gemara, Mizrach Marfa in the Sunim, the Shulchanos were put to the length of the Heichel from west to east. Divrei Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Tzofen Adarin Hari in the Sunim, they were actually put in the direction of north to south. Mandam and Mizrach Marif, so says the Gemara, according to the Omer that says they were put east to west, Nicha Kulan Ruin L'Sheiris. At the end of our previous year, we had a discussion if on which menorah, which shulchan did they use. And there was an amount of Omer that said they could use all of them. So see here too, according to the amount of Omer that says they were all from east to west, therefore, they're all on the right side of the mish of the Beis HaMikdash, where they're supposed to be. They're all usable. However, Mandam Tzofim Darum, according to Mandam, that says that the Shulchanos were put in the direction of north to south, Nimtza Shulchan Bedarim. So that means some of the Shulchanos are going to be on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. And the halacha is that the Shulchan is supposed to be Betzofen. The Shulchan is supposed to be on the north side. So how, and Menoi Betzofen, and therefore how can they be used? The Menorah is only kosher when it's on the south side, and the Shulchan is only kosher when it's on the north side. So the Gemara, because it mentioned this issue of where the Menorahs and the Shulchan were put, the Gemara now stops to teach us the entire situation of how the Beis HaMikdash looked. V'atani, Hashulchan Yenosun Mechatzi Bayis Lufnim. The Shulchan was put halfway into the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't put next to the wall. It was Meshuch Menekos L'Shte Amos Amachza. It was sort of put away 2.5 Amos from the wall. Klap Etzofen to the north side. Umenoira, and the Menoira was parallel to the Shulchan, Kenegdoi Bedorim, on the south side. Mizbech Hazov, the Mizbech Hazov, Hayunosun Be'emtza Abayis, was put right in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. Cholik Es Abayis, it was dividing in the middle of the base of the Kodesh, Mechetzi Lufnim, a little into the deeper, in other words, a little into the deeper part, Meshuach Kam Klapichutz, that would not be directly between the Mizbeach and Menorah. V'kulon, and all of these Kelim, Hayinosun Shlish Abayis Lufnim. So, before we go further, here it says that it was put halfway, and there it says it was put a third. So how do we understand it? So the answer is that the Bavli, Masechta Menachos, Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, asked that question. And the Bavli says that the first brisa that says that the Mizbeach was put halfway in is talking about the Kodesh itself. The Kodesh itself was 40 Amos long. And the Mizbeach, as we just learned, was put in the middle of that area, which is 20 Amos. However, the second brisa is not just looking at that 40 Amos Kodesh area, it's looking at the entire area of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If we combine the length of the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's 60 Amos long. A third of 60 Amos is 20, which is the 20, when we said it was put at 20 Amos of the Kodesh, and now saying that it was a third, it's absolutely consistent. So here we learn that the Mizbeach was put in the middle of the of the Kodesh. This is the basis for a famous tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was very strong. This is an Or Chaim, Simon Chof Ches. The Chassam Sofer was very strong that about the Bima, the place for a Bima in the Beis HaKnesses. And he said that there were shuls that they put the Bima towards the front of the shul. He says it was very similar to the way the churches were constructed. And he says, therefore, there's a strong iser to walk into any shul where the Bima is not in the middle. And he says, because on the Bima, we read the Parshas of Kabbonis. And just like the Mizbeach, we just learned in our shir, was in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, he says, that just like on Sukkot, we used to go around the Mizbeach with the Rovas, so too, that's all we do on Sukkot, on Hashanah Rabbah. So the Bima has to be similar to the Mizbeach. And just like the Mizbeach, we're learning, was in the middle of the Beis HaMikdash, so too is the halacha about every Bima and every shul. The Chassam Sofer took a very, very strong position on this, and he said that the Bima must be placed in the middle. Putting it anywhere else is totally unacceptable. The Kesef Mishnah, however, doesn't necessarily agree. He says that the putting of the Bima is not required always. He says you have to look at the construction of the Beis HaKnesses. If the Beis HaKnesses is a very large shul, and if you're not going to have the beam in the middle of the shul, the people who, you're only going to have the beam in the front of the shul, the people in the back of the shul aren't going to be able to hear what's going on in the middle, then you should have it in the middle. But if it's a smaller shul or whatever, it's not, you have to look at the construction, he says that then you could put it in the front. But as I said, the Chassam Sofer was very makbid. We go back to what we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we learned Esa Menoris Asa Shlomo. Shlomo Melech made 10 Menoris. Shenemav Yasa Menoris Azov Esa Kemishpotam. Shlomo Melech made 10 Menoris. Vehita Behechel, and he put them into the Beis HaMikdash. Chamish Mimin, Chamish Mismoil. 5 were on the right and 5 on the left. Says the Gemara, in Tema, if you're going to say Shechamish B'Tzofim V'Chamish B'Dayrim, you're going to read the pasuk literally, that 5 were put on the north side and 5 were put on the south side, we're going to have a problem. V'lai Eina Menorah K'sheira El B'Dayrim. The halach is that the menorah is only kosher when it's on the south side. Shenemar, as we said, V'sin Menorah Nochach HaShulchan HaYelach HaMishkan Tamona. Ma Tamaloyma, so how do we say, how do we understand when the pasuk says chamish mimin v'chamish mismol? Goes back to the Gemara, to what we said before. Chamish mimin menorah shel Moshe, 5 to the right of the menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, v'chamish mismol, and 5 to the left. So the question, of course, that many achronim ask is how could Shlomo HaMelech have made 10 menorahs? Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, when he tried to construct the menorah, didn't know how to make the menorah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him to throw in the block of gold, and the menorah came out from itself. And here we find, asked the Mefarshim, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Shlomo HaMelech was able to build 10 menorahs without any supposed difficulty. How do we understand that? So the Brisker Rav answers that the way to understand is that when Moshe Rabbeinu built the menorah, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu also told him to make the Kaftareb, Rachel, the different bulbs and the flowers have to all be part of the menorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu's difficulty in building the menorah was figuring out exactly how should that work, that you should have exactly a kikazov, should have exactly that amount of gold, and that the Kaftarech, how much gold each Kafta Uferech should use, that we should have a menorah that's exactly a kikazov. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the menorah that Shlomo HaMelech built, there was no such rule. It had to have kaftarim uprochim, but it wasn't so required what each one should weigh. And that's why it was easier for Shlomo HaMelech to build the menorah than for Moshe Rabbeinu. Afapi, says the Gemara, even though, says the Tanakhama, we had these 10 menorahs that Shlomo HaMelech built, lo yayamava ela shel Moshe bavad. They only use the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, menorahs hazov v'nerseh levar ba'arav ba'erev. The pasuk in Divrei Yomim used the word menorahs, loshen yochid. We learn from that pasuk that one menorah was used, no other menorah was used. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Yossi Huda holds that Akulan Yamaver, they could have used all of them. Shenemar v'sam menorahs v'nerseyem, so it says the Lashon Menoiros. Menoiros is a Lashon Rabbim. So we learn from here that any of the Menoiros could be used. So there's a number of ways of learning this Gemara. Some say that sometimes they use this Menoira, sometimes they use this Menoira. Others, however, said that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Shlomo HaMelech added Shulchanos and Menoiros. The reason Shlomo HaMelech added Shulchanos was in the Midbar, the Shulchan we know is what was Mashpia. The Shulchan was what brought Panosah to Klal Yisrael. So in the Midbar, where Klal Yisrael lived a life where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them man and their needs for Panosah were much less, so there it was adequate if they just had one shulchan. However, in Eretz Yisrael, where Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, so there it was much more, there the needs for panos were greater, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech made 10 menorahs. Similarly, they made 10 shulchanos. Similarly, the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech said, Ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'cholo amin. And therefore, the need of light that Shlomo HaMelech felt that should emanate from the Beis HaMikdash was far greater than the need of light that needed to emanate from the Mishkan. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech made these extra 10 menorahs. However, according to this explanation, that they lit all 10 menorahs and they used all 10 shulchanos, so the Yad Dovid asks, why is this not considered Baal Tosef? The Torah tells us about one menorah. The Torah tells us about one shulchan. How could we use? Also, he says, it's not just Baal Tosef. Very often, we learn the concept of Chulin Bazaro. We have to be careful not to bring into the Beis HaMikdash, not into the Azara, and certainly not into the Beis HaMikdash, something that doesn't belong there. So how can we bring in extra lechem panim? How can we bring in extra oil when they don't belong there? So the Yad Dovid answers that it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech's idea to use the extra menorahs and shulchanos. He did so under the direction of a Navi. Because the pasuk in Divrei Yomim indicates that when it came to building the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk says, Hakol b'ksav miyan Hashem alai hiskol. Shlomo HaMelech was directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly how to build the Beis HaMikdash. But he claims, that's why Shlomo HaMelech was able to build extra, because he was told to do so. But it's interesting, as much as the Yad Dovid feels that Shlomo HaMelech built these extra menorahs and extra shulchanos were divine, the Shechina told him to do so. Shabbos, he says, he didn't light the extra menorahs. Because then there would be a question of Chil Hashem, Chil Shabbos, and that's not something that Shlomo HaMelech would do. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says the pasuk that speaks about constructing the menorah says the words te'osah ha-menorah. But when we look in the Chumash and we look at the spelling of the te'osah ha-menorah, there's an extra yud in the word te'osah. So he said that the extra yud comes to teach us that there should be at 10 extra menorahs. So according to Rabbeinu Bechaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu that he should make 10 extra menorahs. And those were the instructions that Shlomo HaMelech followed. Vaperech v'neres, the flowers and the candles, v'mekachayim zov u'mechloi zov. Mechloi Zov, so the Gemara wants to know, what does Mechloi Zov mean? Hein kulu Zov shashleima. They, so much gold was used that all the gold that Shlomo HaMelech had was exhausted to make the menorah. Tanur of Yossi, Reuudah B'Shem Ravasi. Hay Shlomo Noitel Elef Kikrezov. Shlomo took 1,000 Kikrezov. Or Machnisim Lekor. He will put them into a furnace for refining. Or Moitzion. And then he would remove them. Atchu Mamidim Al Echad. Until he came down just to one kikr. Shenemar, because the Torah says, when it comes to building the menorah, kikr zov tar tasoi. So it should be pure. It should be purified gold. So the Chasam Sofer explains, why do we find that the Torah was so concerned about menorah's zov tar, that the menorah alludes to the chachma, the menorah alludes to Torah. And when a person learns Torah, he has to learn the Torah and keep on learning it until it's zov tar, until it's pure. The divrei Torah that he says should be absolutely correct with no impurities. Another pshat that he says, that this is speaking not just about the Torah, but it's also speaking about the Talmud Chacham. And what we're learning from here is that a Talmud Chacham, who is compared to the menorah represents Chacham, has to be absolutely pure. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Mas Benar Zov Shasu Moshe Bemidbar, the Menorah that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, Vayis Yisera Din Azov, and it was one Din Azov more than a Kikar, V'chnisu L'kar Shmoinim Pam, and they kept on putting it into the furnace for purification, V'loi Chasra Klum. It was so pure already, it couldn't be any more pured. So why did that happen? V'yos, says the Gemara, because that's the way it works with gold. Add the layokam al burare until it's perfectly pure, have a chaser sagyon. It keeps on losing from the gold as you purify it. Mendor kaim al burare. But once it's completely pure, then the halacha is lechaser klum. So Michas Chenech asks a question. When the Torah says that the menorah is supposed to be made out of a kikazov, is that mean that the kikazov is the minimum, but you could use more than kikazov, or is the halacha it could be even more than a kikazov, but as long as you have a kikazov, it's fine. So he quotes Rashi in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu went out of his way to make the menorah out of a kikazov. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu do so? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us that the menorah has to be exact, that the menorah has to be exactly a kikazov, has to be a kikazov. And that's why he went out of his way to try to purify it, to make sure, it wasn't any larger or smaller. And really, he says, that's what we learn in our sugya as well. Because in our sugya, we see that how Shlomo HaMelech went out of his way to purify the menorah. Why did Shlomo HaMelech go out of his way to purify the menorah? Because when the Torah says kikazov, the Torah means exactly kikazov, not any more or not any less. Says the Mishnah, Shlosha Osra Shofers HaMikdash. There were 13 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash, V'kosav Aleihem, and they were all used for different purposes. Taklin Charetin, as we learned, every year we started the Masechta, they had to bring the Machsa Shekel, and the Taklin Charetin are the new Shkolim that are brought every year. Taklin Atikin is if someone missed bringing the Machsa Shekel one year, his obligation, he's not absolved of his obligation. And what he needs to do is the next year bring a makeup Machsa Shekel, and it was put into that Pushka. Kinim is birds, pairs of birds. We'll discuss that. Goizle Oila are pairs of birds that were used for carbon oila. Eitzim is wood. Levoina, Zav l'chaparosoi, Shisha l'nadova. And then there were 6 pushkas where they put a medova. Takon Chadatin, as we just said, Shavakol Shana Vashana, the Machsa Shekel that was brought every year. Atikin, Mishloyevi Ishtakid, if somebody didn't bring last year, Shekel Shanaba, that's where the pushka, where he threw the shekel that he has to make up. Tyron, Kinan, when it says Kinan, Hain Tyron, that the halacha is that when you bring doves they have to be older birds. Guys like Ayla, Hain B'nei Yoina. When you bring pigeons, they have to be younger. But the Tanakama holds, Rabbi Yehuda, Kulan Oilus. The only birds that the money was used were for Oilus. But the halach is that if somebody donates a pair of birds, so the halach is both of those birds are used for carbon Oila. Because as we've learned so many times, you can't donate a carbon chattas. So if somebody's donating a pair of birds, the only thing that you could do with those pair of birds, since birds can only be brought for a chattas and an oilup, a chattas cannot be brought as a donation. They're going to be brought as a carbon oilup. So both of them are going to be brought a carbon oilup. But there are times where people have to bring a pair of birds, azov, azova, a yoledes. That pair of birds, one was a chattas and one was an oilup. Rabbi Yehuda says there was no pushka for such a situation. The Chum disagree that one, the pushka of Kinim was in a situation where somebody has to bring a chattas for an oila, and the pushka of Geisle oila was for Kulan oilas, where somebody donated two birds, where, as we just explained, both birds were brought as a carbon oila. Haimalai Eitzim, if somebody accepts it himself to bring wood to the base of Migdash, lo yifcha mishnei gzirim. He may not bring less than two logs of wood. Levina, if somebody accepts upon himself to bring levina to the base of Migdash, the halacha is lo yifcha mikaymitz. He can't bring less than a kaymitz, which is the amount of levina that's brought with a carbon mincha. Zov, if somebody promised to bring a gold coin, lo yifchas bedinazov. He has to bring at least a dinazov. Shishal and a dava. We learned in the Mishnah that six pushkas were used for the dava. The dava maya oisimba. So ask the Gemara, what did they do with that money? Loichem and oilos habas l'Hashem v'aris l'kahanim. Whenever the base of Migdash, whenever the Mishkan, whenever the Mizbeach was idle, they never wanted that should happen. So if there were no kabbanis that there were people required to bring, they brought oilos kates and Mizbeach. Oilus to make sure that the Mizbeach was occupied. And those oilus, the halach is, were treated like a regular carbon oila, which the entire animal is burnt, but the skin is given to the kahanim. Says the Gemara, Zeh medrish dorish yodah kain gadol. Oshem hu, oshem, oshem l'ashem. So the pasuk is contradictory. It says, oshem hu, oshem, oshem l'ashem. How do we understand it? Says the Gemara, Zeh klal. Kol shem bu mishem chatusum shem oila. If money was designated for carbon chattas for carbon asham, and you have leftover money, and as we said, you can't donate a carbon chattas, you can't donate a carbon asham. You only bring a chattas on asham if you did the aveira, which the Torah says you're supposed to bring that chattas on asham. So you take that leftover money, and you look ben oilus, buy with them carbon oila, basal asham. The muscle goes to asham v'aris l'kahanim nimtzik shnei ksum. So the psukim that we just identified, kayamim, are fulfilled. Oshel Hashem, you have Hashem Kav Yochel getting his share. Oshel Makayin, and you have the Kayin getting his share. V'aymer, and so too do we say, there's another pasuk, Kesef Oshel, Kesef Chatos, lo yivoy beis Hashem, lo kahanim liyu. Means that the kahanim get the or of the oil that will be used with that leftover money. So our Mishnah was very clear in teaching us that there were 13 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question that I saw that the Shuki Chemet discusses is that there's a shul, that has pushkas on the Bimo or wherever, and there's somebody that wants to add a pushka. And the question is, may someone add another pushka to the place where they had these pushkas? Because the people who have the pushkas are concerned of Hasagdus Gavul. Only a mahapich b'chararo, by now having extra pushkas, the existing pushkas income may diminish. And this is a shaila that Masham discusses in Chelek Vov Simen Memhai. He says that it seems that the people who are getting from these pushkas are relying on this money, and anything that will be done that will cause that they should have a less, will have a loss, then the halach is you may not add any pushkas. If, however, he says that on the contrary, by having pushkas, by having more pushka, there may end up being more, people may give more stock up, then the halacha is that you mend. And in fact, I saw that in all the shuls, particularly in Europe, they had a pushka for a mei balanes. And then there were other stockers that came up, particularly for people in Eretz Yisrael who were so desperate for the income that came from the pushkas, and Rabbi Shmuel Salant and the Aderes, who were both the Rabbonim in Yerushalayim, and were certainly concerned for the people in Eretz Yisrael, said you may not add extra pushkas. Once the Torah said that you have these pushkas, the halacha is that anybody who comes and takes from them is doing the wrong thing. And I saw that there was a person who was the one that started in Yerushalayim the famous base has Yisoymus Diskin. The Maril Diskin made an orphanage, and he wanted to send pushkas all over Chutzlaritz to America and other places, that in all the shuls they should put up these pushkas to help these orphans. And he was told he may not do so. If there were pushkas that were already established in the various kehillas, the halacha is you may not add extra pushkas. Says the Gemara, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Yai Shofish Al Kinim B'Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned in our Mishnah, is of the opinion that the pushka of the kinim, of the pair of chattas and oila, they didn't have. Mnei Taruvis. Because we have to be concerned, Shema Thomas Achas, maybe one of the people who is bringing one of the birds of the karmachatos will pass away before they bring a karmachatos. And the halach is, chatos shemesa b'leo, if a chatos' owner died before the karmachatos was brought, lemisa azla. V'nemtsa demei chatos mesis merovs behem. So if we're going to have in this poshka the money of somebody who's obligated in the karmachatos, who unfortunately passed away before we were able to bring her carbon, not only will this money be a problem for her, but all of the money now that's in there will become disqualified. And because all of that money will become disqualified, the halacha is we shouldn't create such a situation. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya Isha Amar Aikan, but didn't we learn in a brisa that a woman who's obligated to bring a pair of birds, the Meid Veikan, brings whatever that cost, the Neister B'Shoifer, and puts it into the Shoifer, the Chelis B'Kachim, that evening she could already eat kachim. The halacha is that a woman who is obligated in these pair of birds, the chattas and oila, may not eat kachim until they are brought on her behalf. The halacha is by evening she could be confident that they were brought. We don't have to worry that maybe we weren't brought. We could also be confident that she is still alive, that she put the money in the pashka, and she's still alive when the karmel chatas is being brought, and it is in a situation of chatas shemesa balea, that lemisa azla. Answers the Gemara, kikam rinan, Rabbi Yehuda indeed agrees that to start being concerned that the woman who brought this money, and now we have perhaps a situation of chatas shemesa balea, we don't have to be concerned about that, if we don't have any reason to be concerned about that. He's speaking about a situation where we know that the person who brought it passed, the one of the people who put money into the pushka, unfortunately passed away. So now for sure we have mixed into this pushka money that's from Chata Shemesa Balel. And that's why he says in order to avoid such a problem, we shouldn't have such a pushka. Key, Karminen, where was Rabbi Yehuda speaking about? Chata Shemesa Balel Vada. That's the Gemara. Why is that a concern? V'yaminen, if we're going to still be know that it happened, nifra arbezuzay, take out four zuz, which is the amount of the value of a bird, v'nishde benara, and throw it out, and we'll say that that was the money that was designated for the karmel chatas, v'idach lishtura, and the rest of the money, which is not chatas money, will not be affected, because the chatas money, which is represented with the money that we're now extracting from that pushka, will be thrown away. Hamrina ba'alma, says the Gemara, Hamrina ba'alma, throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, the less lay breira. He doesn't agree to the concept of breira, And therefore, to say that if we'll pick out any four coins and say these were the Chatas coins, because we'll retroactively say that these were the Chatas coin, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to that. So, of course, the Rishonim explained, even if you say Breira, how could you just say that picking out any coins, we could be confident were the coins that were designated for Karma Chatas? So, Rishonim explained what the Gemara means to say is that there should be a Tanai Bezdin, that when people throw money into this pushka, that the Bezdin has a right to retroactively designate which is mine and which is yours. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to such a concept. So we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody accepts upon himself to bring logs, he can't bring less than two logs. Says the Gemara, he asks, if somebody said Beloshin Yochid Eitz, maybe Gezer Echad, is he allowed to bring one log? Or less than two logs is not considered Eitz, is not considered carbon Eitzim, and there is no option to bring less than one log. So we see, says the Migdash Tavit from here, going back to a concept that we learned earlier in the Masechta, that a yochid could bring wood without giving it over to the tzibur. Because if there's a locha, the only way you could bring wood is by bringing it as a carbon tzibur, then the locha is that why should it be a problem if I bring one log? I'm going to put my one log together with all the other logs that belong to the tzibur, and then the tzibur will use them as they need it. From here we see that there's a concept of a carbon tzibur, of a carbon eitzim, that's brought by the yochid as well. Amar Rav Lazar, Masnisa Amar Kain. The Mishnah in Masechta Yuma says, Shezeh karbon b'fnei atzmai, that each log is individual carbon. Kahir de tanin tamon, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Yuma, that the Tamid Sheben Abayim was brought by 11 Kahanim, and it explains that the actual carbon was brought by 9 kahanim, and shnayim biyadim shnei gezira eitzim. And then there were 2 kahanim, each one carrying a separate log. Carbon, l'rabbis eitzim. To teach us, there were carbon, and each one brought a separate gezer, a separate log. So we see that each one had to bring two separate, that each log is considered a separate carbon. The width of these logs were amma. We discussed the other day that amma is typically 6 tefachim. But there are 2 types of ammas. Sometimes you have an amma which is a little bigger. It's a little bigger than the 6 tefachim. And sometimes the halach is that the amma is exactly or even a little less than 6 amma. So here we said that when we speak about the width of the logs of wood, they were a larger amma. For Arkun, when we speak about the length of these woods, ba'am geduma, it was exactly an amma. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Amim k'min turtani. The way these logs were like the way a scale was constructed, and when you have the wood piece connecting the 2 sides of the scale, that piece of wood, the width and the length are the same. Here too, the wood that was used for the Mizbeach, the width and the length are the same. Amar Rav Shimba Yitzchak, Lefishalai, why are we so concerned that it can't be more than an amma? So says Rav Shimba Yitzchak, Lefishalai Yoimokam Amarocha El Amal Amma. The place where the fire was on the Mizbeach was exactly an amma by amma. Lefikach Loihayaba El Amma Gduma. And we don't want that any of that wood should be protruding, because if any of that wood will be protruding, it will prevent the Kohen from being able to walk around the Mizbeach. So in order to avoid that problem, the way they did it was they had exactly that smaller amma. The Tani came. It says the Gemara, we learned that in the Braisa, because the Braisa in describing how the Mizbeach looked, amma Yisoid, you had an amma of the Yisoid of the base of Mizbeach protruding, then you had an amma of the Soiviv, of the area where they walked around, amma Karkov of the Soiviv on top of the base. Then you have Amma Karkov, Amma Kronos, and Amma Marochos. So the place of the Mizbeach, where the wood was exactly a Amma. And since it was exactly an Amma, therefore the wood could not be any more. We learned in the Mishnah, Levana lo yifchas mekoymetz. Says the Gemara, well, how do we know that? Answers the Gemara, nemakan askara. The Pasuk says, here, v'skala v'ana shal mincha v'iktam izbeach reich nechoyach askaros l'Hashem. V'nemala halon, it says, by the lechem upon him, askara. V'nesata, the Pasuk says, v'nesata al merechus l'vana zaka v'hoysa l'lechem askara isha l'Hashem. Ma askara amo l'halon. Just like the askara the Torah speaks by the lechem upon him is a meloy kaimitz, that's how much you have to put a levina, a kaimitz of levina, of a levina on top of each one of the stacks of bread. The kaimitz akayim meloy kamcha as askarasa af askara amakan meloy kaimitz. Ask the Gemara, ima askara mur lahalon shnei kaimitzim, because as we just said, there was a levina on top of each stack of bread, and there were two stacks of bread. I'll say here as well, ask the Gemara, af askara hamur kan, maybe I should require shnei kaimitzim. Amrav ila, klum lamdu l'kaimitz, we learn it by the Minchas Chayta, and by the Minchas Chayta there was only one kaimitz. Here too, there's only one kaimitz. Ask the Gemara, Mala halam by Minchas Chayta, the halach is kaimitz achametz apostle. If you have less than a kaimitz, it's possible, because the Torah is very strict in saying meloy kumtza. So I would say here too, afkan, the halach ought to be kaimitz achayser is possible. Amr Rabbi Yosef, Milsad Rebeliya Amra. This that Rebeliya just taught us, that we learned the halacha of how much kaimitz you donate from the Michas Chayta. You have to, so whose hands, whose fist do you use when you measure that kaimitz? He says you measure the kaimitz of a kayin. Rav Chizkiya, b'shem Rav Yirmiya, afil b'kaimitz habalim, you could use the kaimitz of the balim. So I saw that the Karman Adar says that the girsa is not b'koymet shalkoyin, but the girsa is b'koymet shalkoyin godl. And he explains, we don't know which coin is going to be actually bring this koymets that I of levoina that I donated. Now, the halacha is that a koymets is not a standard shear. As we've been explaining, the definition of a koymets is a fistful. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem exactly how it's done. But it's a fistful. And since it's exactly a fistful, not every kohen has the same size fist. And when this person is donating the levoina, we have no idea which kohen is going to be the kohen that's actually going to be makriv this kaimitz. And therefore, to be confident that we're going to have enough kaimitz, because we just learned that kaimitz achosur is possible, we take the size of the largest kohen's fist, like that we can be confident that we'll have enough kaimitz. Zav lo yifchis, we learned that if somebody donates gold, he shouldn't give less than a din of zav. Amar belezav, who shiska tzura. That's if he said he's giving a coin. Avam lo hiska tzura, if he didn't say he's giving a coin, then the loch is maybe a field tzunura. He could even bring a pin. Since he didn't say exactly that he's bringing a coin, any amount of gold would be adequate. We learned in the Mishnah that there was shishul nedava, that there was six Pushkas for oilus ketzem mizbeach. What is special about the six? Chizki Amar keneged shesh bati avos. We know that every week there was a different mishmer of kohanim who did the avod in the Beis Hamikdash, and that each mishmer were divided into six bati av, and every day of the week, with the money, a different Beis Av would do the avoda, and therefore, in order to not have any place for dispute, who is going to get the oilus ketzem mizbeach? Because as we learned in the Mishnah, the oiris of these carbon oilus were given to the kohanim. So all the kohanim were anxious to bring these carbon oilus. So the way to avoid any dispute is that every day of the week they had a different pushka, and every day of the week the pushka was designated to a different family. And if the pushka is in my family, I got it, and a different family got it from their pushka. But Padilla, however, has a different explanation why they had six pushkas. We're connected shesh behemoth. There's six different types of animals that you could bring. Par, v'egel, v'sar, ayel, gedi, v'telah. And they have different nesachim. So corresponding to these different animals, that was the different pushkas that they had. Shmulama, connected shisha, kabanas. There were six kabanas where, as we learned in the Mishnah, you could have leftover money, and that the leftover money was brought for the oilus, and they had different pushkas for every type of carbon where you had leftover money that it should go into that pushka. What are these six kabanas? Kinei zovim v'kinei zovis, kinei yoldus, chatas v'ashamas, hamanochas v'asiris eifam. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, aideish nedovim ruba, rev yloi shervis harbi. He has a very simple explanation. He says the reason they had six pushkas is because so many people donated to these pushkas. And because so many people donated to the pushkas, they needed to have all this extra money. We learned in the Mishnah, the drasha of Yoyada HaKoyim, that where on one hand it seems that the Oshem goes to Hashem, and another pasuk it says it goes to the Kohanim. It says the Gemara Ksiv. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, V'yomei HaMelech V'yasu Aron Echad V'yitnu B'Shabes Hashem Chutzo V'yitnu Kol B'Yehuda B'Yerushalayim L'Havil Hashem Masas Moshe Eved Elokim Aisob B'Midbar. And then the pasuk says U'K'chaloysom Heviyu L'Fnei HaMelech V'Yoda. So here it seems as Shara Kesef V'yaseu Kelim B'Beis Hashem Kli Shoros V'Alois V'Chapes Kli Zor V'Chesef. So here we see that the Aron was standing outside in the Shar Beis Hashem, and they made the Kli Shoros. In our Mishnah, it says that there was the Aron was near the Mizbeach, and the money was used another part for the Beder Kabayis. How is this reconciled? It says the Gemara, Rashmu ben Nachum Shem Yonis and Amar, Shtei Nevdavas Osa. The Yodah Koyin made two pushkas. Tanit Be Rishmo, the Dov Achas, the Ksiv, V'yikach ha-yodah ha-koyin oran echad, V'yikach chor b'daltoy, V'yitnin o'etzo etz mezbeach miyamin. There was one pushka. V'hodak siv v'yoyim ha-melech v'yas oran echad, V'yitnei b'shar b'es Hashem ha-chutza. Amar v'huna, nei ha-tmeim. Why did they make another pushka? Because there were people who were tamei, who couldn't go into the Beis Mikdash, but they still wanted to donate. V'huna b'shem, Rabbi Yosef, ach lo yas b'es Hashem s'vois kesef mezmeris. Anything that wasn't needed for the Kli Shoros, that pushka may not be put in the Beis HaMikdash, that pushka was put outdoors. Hadron loch perak yud gimel shayfris.